The sentence for today is from John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Let us pray the collect together. Eternal Father, through the resurrection of your Son, help us to face the future with courage and assurance, knowing that nothing in death or life can ever part us from your love. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is about Thomas, as it is every Sunday after Easter. Therefore, I have decided to safely leave that reading for another year. Instead, I want to take my departure point from the reading in Acts and consider some matters I've been thinking about in the last month or so. As the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples at Pentecost, the crowd came together to see what was happening, to see what the noise was all about, as those imbued with the Spirit spoke. So then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he quotes the prophet Joel. Today's reading begins later in the speech. "People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Peter concludes, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The people were impacted. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. While the disciples had gone to preach the news of the kingdom before, when they were sent by Jesus, this was really the first missionary activity by the church. After the death and resurrection of Jesus and the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, not Jesus in the flesh, the church is sent to continue in the mission of God through Jesus in the world. So, how do we go about God's mission today, here at St. Paul's Papanui? Often we think of mission as overseas mission, when we send a few missionaries overseas, giving them money to do so and even praying for them. That is good and necessary work, and it is part of God's mission in which the Church also acts. Here at St. Paul's we continue to do that, supporting missionaries with finances, prayer and communication. Maybe we need to get more intentional about that, but that is only part of the missionary activity we are called to do. Sometimes we think of missionary activity a lot closer to home. We wonder how we can get people to church, how we can fill the empty pews in our buildings. At its heart, there is a missionary perspective to this thinking. We want other people to experience the joy and healing we have ourselves experienced. But too often it can be about continuing an institution or tradition. And we have to be clear that the mission of God is not the preservation of a tradition, as beautiful as it may be, but rather the turning of the human heart towards God. Even so, I might be so conceited as to think that my theological understanding is closer to the truth than that of many others. I am not at all sure about the organizational church structures or the type of worship. I certainly think that North City Church, for example, is a better fit for many people than St. Paul's Papanui. And through that, they are part of the body of Christ, just as we are part of the body of Christ. So much of our worship is determined by our own life history, our personal character, and the traditions we were born into. if we follow the mission of God in this place, then it is indeed to bring people to Christ. But it is not necessarily to fill this church building. Another common view of mission is that it is social service, the sort of service that the city mission is involved in. Serving the poor and vulnerable is indeed part of the mission that God has entrusted to the church. Whether the current model of divorcing parishes from the coalface of that aspect of mission and entrusting it to professionals that are often only loosely connected to the church, whether that is the best model, that is uncertain. In any case, it cannot be the full extent of mission. So what then is that mission that God has entrusted to the church? It looks different in each context, of course. But there are some major guidelines. Other churches have different guidelines, but they all flow from the deep reflection on the scriptures and our current situation in the world. And since we are part of the Anglican Communion, I want to consider how we are called to mission based on the five marks of mission. The mission of the church is the mission of Christ. First, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Second, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. Third, to respond to human need by loving service. Fourth, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge the violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. And fifth, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew life of the earth. Let's consider how we might live out that mission here at St. Paul's. So, this is my personal view. I hope that you will consider how we best can work out that mission and give me your feedback, even critical feedback. Also, I'm still presuming that society in New Zealand and around the world will return to somewhat like a new normal as we learn to live with the new health concerns in the future. I invite you to use this time when we are not meeting and think about what God's mission might look like here in Papua Nui. This is a good time to do that. So let's get to the first point, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. That is essential. If we leave that, all our attempts to pursue the other marks are without direction. Here at St. Paul's, we follow a tradition that is centuries old and primarily proclaim the good news of the kingdom during weekly public worship services. We do so through the assembling of people, through listening to the words of the Bible and the preaching on that word, through song and through sacrament. As long as we are faithful to God, as long as we allow ourselves to be confronted and challenged by God's word, as long as what we sing, say, and hear in church is borne out in our actions, then that is indeed a response to God's mission, even if our numbers dwindled. But this cannot be the full extent of our proclamation, at least not in our time and day. For the world does not come to this church where it can be impacted by the word of God. We need to consider how we can sustain and grow that proclamation. For example, if we were more effective by closing down and combining with another church, whether Anglican or not, then that needs to be considered. But I think that St. Paul's has been in the community of Papua Nui for over 150 years, and as such, there is a presumption that it should continue to work out God's mission here. And so it should, particularly if it has an ability to reach people in a way that no other nearby church community can. And I think that it is exactly here that St. Paul's heritage is important. Through that heritage, it can reach people in a way that other churches may not be able to. If we see this building, first of all, as a missionary opportunity, rather than a traditional building that needs to be maintained at all costs, then we might get the right perspective. That does include the bells, which time and again remind people that this church is here and have called many people not only to turn their minds at least briefly towards God. It includes our hours of open church when people can come and reflect in the peaceful atmosphere of this building. Similarly, I think that the dignified but not overly formal worship is part of St. Paul's characteristic with which it can speak to some people. I, as the vicar, can offer somewhat intellectual but evangelical theology in my preaching. Others may prefer another theological approach. Our mission statement says, helping people to meet God, make friends, grow in faith. That part about making friends is part of how we as a church proclaim the good news. If we are serious about that, it means social interaction apart from formal worship services. Home groups are another important venue where those friendships can be formed. It also reflects the size of the congregation. Some people have difficulty to find a sense of belonging in larger churches. So here at St. Paul's, at the moment we may see our numbers as a strength. Of course they can increase. And here at St. Paul's it also means intergenerational worship and acceptance. So does the proclamation of the good news just mean that we have to become somewhat more intentional in what we already do? I think there are further opportunities we have to think about. What about reaching across cultural lines? We do some of that already by facilitating the Fijian congregation, but is there more we could do? What about other initiatives like public lectures or courses or musical offerings? How can we proclaim the good news to the world out there? How can we join other churches and organizations to do that? The second mark of mission is to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. It is my opinion that the church has to do that not only with new believers, but call us all again and again to discipleship. After all, the last part of our mission statement is helping people to grow in faith. That requires greater knowledge and intentionality in our faith. How, as a church, can we foster that? Home groups and study groups are well-tried methods. This church has home groups. We have Sunday school to teach and nurture our children. But in this missional area, some more imagination may be required. Should we explore ways for more home groups or more short-term study groups? What about intentional relationships of encouragement and accountability? How do public worship services encourage discipleship? Would an additional reflective service be a nurturing opportunity for some people? I don't have the answers, but urge you to consider a response that is suitable for our situation. The third mark of mission is to respond to human need by loving service. This church already does some of that in some ways. I think our rest home services are part of such loving service. Maybe that's where we can see musical play fitting in as well. After all, it is a service to the community that we can offer. At the same time, musical play does play part in the proclamation of the good news, introducing children to some key faith messages, and doing so in a practical, though informal, cooperation with members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and using the image of the Anglican Church as more mainstream. The knitting group also uses its time and skills to respond to human need. We outsource much of our service activity to agencies such as the City Mission. But with some of it, we are more closely involved, in particularly in the Papua Nui Youth Development Trust, which operates from church property, and is an important part of our missionary activity. Some of the congregation are involved in practical ways to respond to human need. May I just mention the Charity Hospital as a representative. Nevertheless, we as church need to continue to keep the needs of our community in mind and see where there are opportunities when we can respond well to those needs. Three particular needs that I have noticed are adequate housing, rest from the busy world, and companionship in times of loneliness. The fourth mark of mission is to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind and pursue peace and reconciliation. I'm not sure we as a church community are doing much of that. It is difficult because that often spills over into politics. And I would think that even in a small parish like this, our politics vary widely. Nevertheless, there are some things we can do. First of all, we need to practice what we preach. That is, where our values are clear, we need to align our activities with them. For example, in the way we invest our funds or the way we purchase goods and services. We should not just look for the cheapest deal or the highest yield. Second, in such a divided world, maybe we need to consider societal questions now and then. Maybe we need to talk about religion and politics and other things that divide people, painful though it may be. Some of us do frequently try to do our bit. For example, I have recently read an article by Phil Bagshaw challenging the effects of political and economic ideology on the healthcare system. I myself, for example, am a constant submitter on issues of transport and spatial development, if I find the time, though some of you may be uncomfortable with my positions in this field. Others are also involved in a well-informed and respectful manner in the public discourse. The question is, how is this informed by our faith? And even more so, how do we effectively convey our insights to a world in which Christian views and insights informed by faith count little? The fifth mark of mission is to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. I am not sure there is much happening in St. Paul's with regard to this mark of mission. At the last vestry meeting, we agreed that Judith MacDonald was to lead as the champion on environmental matters in this church, together with direct support from Rod Shaw and Tim Frank. That was based on a directive from the bishop. I have some experience with environmental management systems and established an environmental group in the previous parish. That's why I'm there in this group that Judith is leading. But I invite any other interested parishioners to become involved. Due to the response to the pandemic, we have not really started on much yet. There are certainly ways in which we can do better to safeguard the integrity of creation. Again, and our investments and the use of our land also need to be considered in these marks of mission. A church does not need to be equally strong in all fields and marks of mission, but these nevertheless give us a guideline what we need to look at. There is much we do as a church that is not covered by these marks of mission. In particular, the pastoral dimension seems to be missing. I think pastoral care can also be part of our missionary activity, and in any case, it is an essential part of being church, of caring for each other. In all this, what and how, we can forget easily the why, that Jesus was crucified, died, and has overcome death for our sake. So let me return to the gospel for today after all. For there Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."